And you're listening to LA Miracle Cure. I'm your host, Barbara. And as you know, we try to give you the real information behind the legalization of cannabis and how that relates to California and how it relates to the state where you might live. Now, today, I have a very, very special guest. And my special guest happened to be coming from a city called Centennial in Colorado. Now, I never knew there was a city called Centennial, so I'm really excited to hear a little bit of the history of that. I know I'm a fan of Denver. It's one of my favorite places to be when it's snowing and when it's not snowing. And it also is a place where there is recreational use or adult use legal of cannabis. And so we have an opportunity to talk to someone right now who is running a company that specializes in hemp products. So now we get a chance to learn, are they cousins? Are they lovers? What is this thing that happens between cannabis and hemp and CBD? We need to know. Anyway, I want to bring to you our guest today. We have John Ramsey. Welcome, John.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yes, absolutely. And tell us the name of your company.
So we own Infinite Product Company and Infinite CBD, a company based out of Centennial, Colorado, that makes industrial hemp CBD products.
Oh, that's amazing. And we also have another person with us, Allie Monk, and Allie is the director of publications with your company. Allie, say hi.
Hello. Thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here today.
Absolutely. All right. So let's go to you, John. John, what is hemp? Is it a cousin? Is it illegal? Is it legal? I mean, what is hemp? We don't know.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm going to start this by talking a little bit about the past. So 80 years ago, there was feral hemp and cannabis, both, that grew all over the United States. It happened. It was everywhere. Our animals ate it. Our livestock ate it. We ate those animals. We consumed those cannabinoids way back when. And our bodies benefited from it. You know, they're naturally growing plants. And ultimately, from my understanding and research, it was suggested that hemp was just going to have such a big impact on paper manufacturing back in the day that big paper lobbied for hemp to be outlawed. It was, so was cannabis. And for the last 80 years, we've seen all these new health problems that keep coming about that are spurred by what we would consider to be deficiencies of the endocannabinoid system, which, as it turns out, you know, human beings have endocannabinoid systems, not just human beings, animals also have them. And we're finding that a lot of these products we're making with industrial hemp and cannabis, which, by the way, are the same things. Cannabis sativa L is hemp. Cannabis by itself is, you know, marijuana. They're just grown. They're both two different species of one thing, both grown for their own desirable, you know, effects. One grown for high THC to have a high psychoactive content. That would be the standard, you know, cannabis that everybody knows and loves today. And the other being something that's bred, you know, specifically for it to have high cannabidiol properties, high CBD, and that brings us to what we use today, like, you know, the things like, you know, cherry wine R4 strains or different strains of cannabis that are genetically grown to produce more CBD. We're finding that by consuming cannabinoids, you know, there's studies that have suggested that us consuming those cannabinoids stops our bodies from creating things like plaques that cause dementia and Alzheimer's. And these are things that we would have benefited from had we kept continuing to consume, you know, cannabinoids such as, you know, CBD, the non-psychoactive component in cannabis that we use for a lot of different, you know, needs.
Well, you know, that is a very interesting point. Wow, John, that was amazing. Because we know right now that there's a very expensive product, and one of them is called Aricep. Now, Aricep is actually something that a lot of people don't know about, but is prescribed for people prior to getting Alzheimer's. So it's kind of like something that you use before you get it, but you have to know you have it before you get it. And really, Alzheimer's cannot really be diagnosed until it's post-death. In other words, in your autopsy is where you find out, ah, this is Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's a very bizarre coating that goes on of proteins on the receptors in the brain that causes this false, I guess, firing of the receptors. Now, I want to ask you a question. So when you talked about the maladies, the several things that CBD could cover, were you speaking of like inhibits cancer growth cells, is a neuroprotective, protects bone growth, reduces seizures and convulsions, reduces blood sugar levels? Am I on to something here?
100%. I mean, we have a grandfather that buys a 2,500 milligram dropper for his grandson every single month. Every single month he calls in, he asks for me personally. I put the order in for him, we send it out. But this last time there was something special about it, you know, it was a little different. This time he was calling to order it and say thank you. Not to thank us because he hopes this stuff is working, not to thank us because, you know, the media tells him to, but to thank us because his grandson went from having 250 seizures a day to one.
Wow.
Yeah. Like when you get those kind of results from people, you realize like this is real, you know, this is a reality. The whole reason why we even started this company wasn't to start a company. That's the craziest part. The reason why we started this company, I'm a disabled veteran from the United States Army. I'm 80% service connection disabled. I have ruptured discs in my back and PTSD and all kinds of fun stuff. And I was on 18 pills a day when I got out of the Army. And what it was just too much.
What kind of pills, John? First off, let me thank
pain
you.
Painkillers, opiates.
I want to thank you for your service, first off, on behalf of myself and LA Miracle Cure. But I want to know, what were you taking? What were they giving you?
You know, they've tried all kinds. I've taken, they've tried the anti, like, there's a line, right, where they say, hey, are you willing to try antipsychotic meds? And you're like, well, why do you ask me that? Well, because once you take that, you know, everybody, it's a public record thing, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't think that I'm a public record kind of person. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I just have some issues that I need help with. And ultimately I was on something to go to sleep. So I had Ambien to go to sleep at night. I had something for anxiety in the morning. I had a different pill for anxiety at night. So there was like the standard Zoloft, and then, oh, yeah, we need to give you Wellbutrin to keep your mood up, and, oh, yep, got to give you this for gout. Oh, we better give you this Motrin for your back, and then also you need to take these oxys, or, you know, you need to take whatever pills you got to take for your pain, and it was just too much. And I started to feel like I was a walking bottle of pills, so I went to CBD immediately. I had already been, you know, working in the cannabis sector. CBD seemed to be up and coming, and so I started to do my research and trying it, and it worked. It worked well for me, and it worked well for me for years. And then a little over a year ago, my son's best friend's dad, he works for the city that we live in, and he also has a commercial driver's license, so he can plow snow. And so he's not allowed to take any painkillers besides Tylenol, Motrin, Naprosyn, you know, the Advils, the Aleves, and he also suffers from Lyme disease. And he's in a lot of pain. And so I was like, Matt, you know, you got to let me make you some CBD. And he's like, oh, I'm really worried about it. You know, the drug test, the way people at work are going to look at me. And I was, you know, I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to go get us some products. I'm going to get them lab tested. I'm going to make sure there's no THC in it. And then I'm going to make you some stuff and you got to try it. So he said, okay. A week later after he started trying it, he's like, John, I haven't been this pain-free in 20 years.
Wow.
I haven't enjoyed life. I haven't slept. I haven't enjoyed hunting. And now he takes it every day. It helps him with his anxiety. He's now been diagnosed with PTSD from some issues he had when he was younger. And he's able to benefit from using CBD for that. And so that's actually why we started the company. It made such a big impact in his life that we knew then that we had to make this available for other people.
I got it. Well, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about non-specific diseases, which is like non-specific dementia, non-specific, I'm just inflamed, I'm uncomfortable. I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, I have anxiety, you know, those kind of things, those kind of issues. How does CBD actually change one's mindset? If you could tell us.
It's important to, first, before we even go into that, to know that cannabinoids and endocannabinoids and the endocannabinoid system and receptors and neurotransmitters that actually work with the system are known to be found in the human embryo at that stage, you know. So we're born with this system. We have this system that is, like, supposed to work with, you know, cannabinoids. The reason why the endocannabinoid system is working with the plant's cannabinoids is because they're phytocannabinoids. Our body, our endocannabinoid system, is reading, you know, the phytocannabinoids similarly as to the endocannabinoid system. So it's triggering and those neurotransmitters and those receptors to restore the body to homeostasis, because that's what the endocannabinoid system's job primarily is known for, and is what research shows, is to keeping the body at homeostasis. So to go back to what you were saying, it's, if you had anxiety, if you had these diseases, essentially the CBD or the other phytocannabinoids in the cannabis plant would trigger your body's systems naturally to restore those body or those systems to where they need to be, and those conditions to where your body should be.
Well, you just heard from Allie, and Allie, you really explained that to us wonderfully. Let me ask you, Allie, so as a woman, do you feel that, because there's not a lot of women in this business, how do you feel about having this potential miracle drug and being director of public relations? I mean, are people receptive of what you have to say, or is there still this stigma of, oh, I don't know if I should try that?
There is that stigma. I don't know if I should try it. You know, it is associated with cannabis. It's marijuana, this, that, the other thing. But, you know, I actually reached out to Pop Sugar Fitness recently after seeing an article that they had about CBD. And I wanted to kind of introduce them to us. And they actually really enjoy our product and have bringing a lot of awareness to it. But they are, you know, a website that is kind of geared to that younger audience. So I think it's kind of, you know, the younger audience that's kind of more receptive of it at this moment, and kind of those publications. But, you know, it's a product that needs to be in all industries, all outlets. Like, everyone needs to be talking about it, because there's not an industry that it can't impact.
All right. So now we've had lots of different guest on the show, and this opportunity to spotlight your company, we're just very excited about it. We want to ask you, though, because a lot of people that come on, they speak to this entourage effect. John, what is the entourage effect? And if you are using a strain of, let's say, the cannabinoid sativa, I'm trying to get it all together here, and it does not have the THC effect, then are you missing that entourage effect that supposedly plays into all three elements? Tell us more about that.
I'm glad you bring that up. So I'm going to ruin the whole game right now by telling you the term sativa and indica are just nonsense at this point.
Oh, I learned that already last week. Okay, but go ahead.
You sure did. Yep, we're about to drop it again then. So the term indica referred to a short, squatty plant growing with really fat leaves. The term sativa referred to a tall, lanky plant that stretches and grows skinnier leaves. And back in the day, we would suggest that most of the time you would smoke that plant or consume that plant that had the skinnier leaves, and it would give you sativa effects. Right? And that was because we hadn't really gotten that deep into the plant enough to really understand how those effects were happening. So now we find ourselves today in the land of different extraction methods, different consumption methods of other cannabinoids, tons of different options available. Mm-hmm. And now we're finding that those terpenes and flavonoids are actually what has been driving our high this whole time. And so it's not so much the content of the THC that gets you there. It's the content of the THC along with those terpenes that get you there, or the content of the CBD and those terpenes that get you there, so to speak. I can put it this way. There are extracts out there that are called distillate. Have you heard of distillate before?
Oh, no, I don't think I've heard of that.
Okay. Distillate is something that you may see on some of these pages, and it looks almost like honey. It's not like hard and crunchy. It's not like glass or shatter. It's like a honey. And ultimately, that's distilled cannabinoids. So we've taken the plant, we've washed it the first time and done our first extraction with some sort of an ethanol or a hydrocarbon, right?
Mm-hmm.
We stripped the plant of all of its medicine, so to speak. So all of those little frosty things on the leaves we call trichomes, we pulled all of those off the plant because that's what holds all of that, you know, essence, and that's what holds all of the THC and CBD. That's where it all is.
Mm-hmm.
So we pull that all out of the plant, and we're left with this first extraction. Now, this first extraction is going to have a lot of things in it. It's going to have the smells and the flavors. It's going to have a little bit of the chlorophyll. It's going to have all the THC, but it's also going to have some things in there called fats and lipids, because on the outside of those trichomes is a really thin layer of fats and lipids that holds the THC medicine inside of the trichome. That trichome is actually the plant's response to sunlight, or the plant's own natural sunscreen.
Mm.
So we pull all that off the surface of the leaf, and now we have this crude extract that has everything in it. We then pair that with ethanol, and we distill it, and we get all the fats and lipids out of it. We get all the terpenes out of it. We get everything out of it. We're left with something that's close to a 90% THC honey, so to speak, just because it's that consistency. And that is called distillate. Now, for the last maybe year, up until about 6 months ago, that was a real hot commodity in a lot of states, California, Colorado, everywhere. People have been consuming it, whether it be dabbing it in vape pens or even putting it into edibles. But what a lot of people are starting to find when they consume these distillates, this pure THC that, you know, was supposed to just get me completely high, but no, it's not. I'm finding it's actually just waking up my endocannabinoid system. And now my endocannabinoid system is looking for a direction to go. Okay, I'm at this real level-headed high. I'm not tired and sleepy like indica would have done. I'm not awake and active and ready to go to the gym like a sativa would have done. Instead, I'm like this real middle of the fence where I'm like waiting to go somewhere. That's where terpenes and entourage effect come in. Present some terpenes to that distillate. Now that high has a direction to go. Now I'm either going to be awake or now I'm going to be tired. Now I'm going to be sedated, or now I'm going to be completely energetic and involved in what I'm doing. And those things are dictated by those terpenes and that entourage effect. So now I'll take you forward to our product, like our CBD vape cartridges or even our droppers. We pair those with terpenes so people can get those desired effects. Those, I'd like to be a little tired. I'd like a little linalool, the same terpene that's found in lavender. I'd like terpenes like linalool to be in my product to help me rest a little bit more at night.
Wow.
Okay.
So I tell you what, let's just hold it on that note because I've got to get a new writing pad. I've got so much information from you right now. Hey, everybody, you're listening to LA Miracle Cure. I'm here with John and Allie, and they're from Infinite CBD, and we'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back here with John and Allie from Infinite CBD. Now, John, tell us about delivery systems and what the choice delivery systems would be for the product that you produce, the CBD oil. Tell us about that.
The human body benefits from a lot of different delivery systems and delivery mechanisms. The fastest one that everybody can always think of when it comes to cannabinoids is inhaling. So let's talk about that one first. You're going to inhale the cannabinoids that come in through your lungs. A gas exchange happens in the alveolar sacs. And where that gas exchange happens, we're able to get, you know, THC or CBD or whatever cannabinoids that we're consuming. They're able to get into our body that way. It happens very fast, and it's very effective through inhalation. It also bypasses the absorption by the liver so that you're no longer waiting on that, nor are you losing any of the effectiveness of cannabinoids through that delivery method. And it tends to work for a lot of people. Not everybody likes to inhale.
So let me ask you a question. So what you're telling me is I could smoke CBD?
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, I didn't get that at first. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we do offer, and many other people do, but we offer a vape cartridge where you can inhale CBD directly from your vape cartridge. We offer that in a 250-milligram and a 500-milligram option. And those are paired with the terpenes that we talked about earlier, so you're able to benefit from the entourage effect when using any of our vape cartridges. Orally, taking it to the next level from inhalation would be orally, and I'm not talking first about swallowing something. I'm talking orally, sublingually, similar to that of a patient with angina or myocardial infarction. They would take something under the tongue sublingually. To help gain some sort of, they can get better from taking that. We offer the same thing in our CBD tinctures. Our tinctures are able to be dropped under the tongue, absorbed sublingually through the venous system underneath the tongue. They're almost instant. It happens very fast. But the length of time of how long it can affect you may take a little bit longer. And so that's why we tend to go towards something more like a capsule or a gummy, which we also have, that you digest through the small intestine. It does go get processed through the liver, so you may lose some of the effectiveness or the bioavailability of the cannabinoids, but you are getting a more sustained long effect from it. So you're able to take something now that may last 4 to 6 hours, where with a vape or with a dropper, maybe it only lasts a couple hours because, you know, the oral mucosa has acids in it that may eat the sublingual drops up a bit and not let you get 100% of the effectiveness of the medication through that delivery method.
I see. So there are choices. So it's
there
not,
are many.
It is not really like I take a pill or I put some and rub it on wherever I'm having an ailment. It's more that I've been introduced to it in such a way that, or introduced to a company that can provide me these different ways to take it. Well, you talked a little bit about this dosage. How do you know how much to take in the delivery system?
I'm glad you brought that up. Dosage in CBD is such a sensitive topic, specifically because the FDA, although the government, United States government, does hold the patent on cannabis for its medical properties, the FDA has not yet agreed with those or co-signed on that. So we can't necessarily say, hey, oh, yep, what do you weigh, 100 pounds? You're going to need this much. Can't do that. But what we can do is make general suggestions based off of research that we've done, and other people's research that we've researched. And what we've found is a really good starting point to tell people to start at. It's very safe. There is no LD50. There is no death that comes from cannabis or CBD, specifically because cannabis and CBD are received through the endocannabinoid system in receptors that are not in the same areas or have the same control of respiration, brain, or heartbeat. And since, you know, those are, that is not where CBD or THC for that matter is, you know, brought in, we do not have any risk of death. So we recommend a good starting point for somebody to gain their own, you know, therapeutic dose from would be 0.5 milligram for children and babies and 1 milligram for adults per 10 pounds of body weight. So I'm a 250-pound man. I would take 25 milligrams for a good starting dose for myself.
Wow. And then follow every 4 hours or every 3 hours as per your feeling or your comfort level or how it's reacting with your body, correct?
Exactly. Or differentiating it on the delivery system, because a couple of the delivery systems we may not have touched on yet are we offer suppositories, which is the most bioavailable delivery system on the body. We also offer capsules. We also offer a topical. And, you know, you can, your body absorbs cannabinoids from everywhere.
Right.
It's looking for them.
Very interesting. Well, I want to go to, thank you so much, John. I want to go over to Allie. So Allie, so who's your typical client? I mean, when you think about the marketing structure for your company, who do you think best benefits? Is it the lady that has cramps? Do you think it's women? Do you think it's men? Do you think it's children? Tell us.
Well, I think that's why we have so many different delivery systems, is because there isn't necessarily a market that it's limited to. So, I mean, right now we do have a lot of customers kind of that are in the cannabis space who are familiar with cannabis, who have consumed THC before and things like that. And they're the ones who are kind of going to like those vape cartridges. And so that's why we have products like that for them. But recently in our Pop Sugar Fitness features, we have gained kind of a different audience with the fitness space. And so those clients or those customers, they kind of like something that's a little bit not vaping. It's not smoking. It's not necessarily kind of associated with I'm consuming cannabis. It's you're eating a gummy, you're eating our Asteroid, or maybe that's using the suppository, whatever the case may be. Or, you know, athletes even use our pain cream for their sore muscles, things like that. People with fibromyalgia would use our pain cream as well. So it kind of really just depends. We're trying to cover all, you know, all kind of markets, all delivery systems, all ways that a customer who would want to use CBD can use CBD.
Well, so I've got a question. All right.
Yeah.
So can you sell it to me and I'm in California? Does that is it possible for something like this to be sent over state lines? Is that possible? Or how does that work? Because maybe my state is not legal yet in respect to CBD and to the use of cannabis medically.
Definitely. We are an online company and we do ship straight to people's doors. So that's how you would order to us, and we do ship to most places. There are some states that do have CBD-specific laws that, you know, they have to be aware of and things like that.
Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but right now we ship right to your door if you were to place an order.
So
the other thing that,
go ahead,
if I
John.
Could chime in really quick here, if that's okay.
Yes.
You know, according to Section 7606 of the 2014 Farm Bill, It clearly states that products made of industrial hemp used for research processes to help people with their health, it is completely legal. The only states where we cannot send any CBD to are states that do have specific laws. Like specifically, the Attorney General of Indiana recently has given everybody in the state of Indiana until the end of December to stop any CBD product manufacturing, sales, anything. So through the end of December, Indiana will no longer be able to use CBD. They're the only state that I know that has made a law that clear that no one can use it. There are some other states that have just asked that people get a prescription before using CBD, which is completely okay.
So Indiana also happens to be a state that has an opioid crisis. I wonder what are they going to do about that? You think they're going to crack down on that as well?
I wish they would. You know, you say that on the heels of the people who created things like the fentanyl patch. They literally just got approved a synthetic cannabinoid drug.
Unbelievable.
And they're allowed, and they're completely allowed to sell it.
Unbelievable. See, this is what we're fighting against, is awareness, education, to make people understand. So I've got something totally off topic, and, you know, this is what we do here at LA Miracle Cure. We want to know what you know. And okay. So you're in the Mile High Club. You are there in Denver. You guys, we all have heard about it. We've heard about the 47 stakeholders that opened 29 dispensaries, and then 2 years later, everybody's a billionaire. So we all want to know, how's the climate for cannabis and hemp in Denver?
You know, it's the climate here is crazy, and it's because it's changed so much. You know, the crazy part about Colorado's cannabis climate is the fact that it was really the second national cannabis climate, right? The first one was California. And then I think it just went a little too hairball for them. And California does share some international borders. So I think that had everything to do with them saying, hey, let's go find an incubator state like Colorado that's dead in the middle of the United States that's poised to help us create a program. And then it happened. But you know, before we started Infinite CBD, we had a marketing company that's worked in cannabis here, specifically with some of the bigger brands you probably have heard of, like Chiba Chews. We did their marketing for a minute. You would expect that there's tons of money in it. And don't get me wrong, there was. But now it's very regulated, you know. To give you an idea, somebody wanted to get a license right now for if they wanted to go be a grower, it's going to be a minimum of $1 million. If you want to go be a dispensary, $5 million. So they kind of weaned out anybody's ability to just come be a dispensary owner or a marijuana farmer. You're still making it to where only people who have wealth can do it.
Mm, and so that's a problem. Because because it's all about what I have really come to understand and really appreciate. Is that people like yourself and Allie and your company, we can see that it started with passion and it's grown through passion, knowledge, understanding, and self-efficacy. So it's very interesting to now put a price tag on that and say, well, if you want to be involved, you've got to have $10 million to get started. So yeah. how do you feel about that? Do you feel that the stakeholders feel cheated?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people who probably feel cheated. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to turn around City Hall. Like, you know, you're never going to change the government. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to work alongside them, and you got to do whatever they ask you to do. And that's hard in the cannabis industry because some of these requirements are tough, you know, outside of getting licensed, now find a business that or a building owner that's going to let you be licensed in their building.
Oh yes, absolutely. Now we're talking about someone who is at the table, seated, and is a partner, a quasi partner that has absolutely no knowledge of what you're going through to create this business.
Yep. And that's a hard part. I mean, like, luckily, we had the same challenge here in Centennial doing CBD.
So, John, so there's two different types, I guess, of extraction processes. And I know in California, they really frown on anybody extracting volatilely. So I guess there's one and then the other. Could you just briefly tell us the difference and why are people so afraid of this extraction process?
Yes. I would say confining it to two different kind of extraction methods would be tough because I think there's more. But initially what you're talking about is, first of all, hydrocarbon extraction or volatile extraction. They call it volatile only because of the outcome of what could happen. Commercially, that is not such a risk because commercially, companies use closed-loop extraction equipment. So there's no exposure of the elements of gas to the atmosphere, which takes away the risk of explosion. And that was a big thing here in Colorado, too. Specifically in Colorado, there was a some legislation and regulation that made Colorado have to use what's called Class 1 Div 1 explosion-proof rooms. Not so much that they're not, you know, they can't explode. I mean, you could take a 5 foot by 5 foot explosion-proof room, and if there's a 100-story building on top of it, I'm pretty sure that you're going to make that 100-story building fall.
Wow.
But, well, because it's a bomb at the end of the day. You know, you've got high-pressure gas that's highly flammable. That's all under pressure. And that's the scare. It's like, oh, my God, you're going to blow up the neighborhood. The truth is it's not the big labs that blow up the neighborhood. It's the people at home that are taking that butane and pushing it through a glass tube and making their own extracts. That's how people's houses are exploding. That's how people are getting in trouble.
We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that with LA Miracle Cure.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Bev, psychotherapist, grandmother, podcast and talk radio host of Emotions Are Us on America Out Loud. You've seen a lot in your years in private practice. What is the one obstacle that people fear the most?
Asking for help in the midst of a crisis. Having the courage to call a professional when they don't know what to do, how to do.
Dr. Bev, we've seen a rise in street violence in cities everywhere around the world. What can we do to change this trajectory, to keep our family and loved ones safe?
Make time to talk, make time to encourage each other, and listen, listen. Don't judge, listen.
Yeah, well said. Sometimes we don't do enough listening. Speaking of which, when we say on America Out Loud, let the silent voices be heard, how can we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Stop listening to the fake news. Think for yourself. Actions. Actions speak louder than words. Follow the connected dots. If it acts like a duck, walk like a duck, it is a duck.
Well, with all the fake news and bad information out there, we call ourselves the alternative news choice. America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications.
So you're listening to LA Miracle Cure. Again, I'm your host, Barbara, and we're here with John and Allie. Allie, I got a question for you. So
yeah.
As a lady in the business, what do you foresee your future to be?
I think the main thing for me is just bringing awareness to CBD and the education of it all. So just making sure that we get the message across to all parties, all markets, all outlets, that the benefits of CBD and how it can be beneficial to everybody.
Wow, that's amazing. So I hope everybody heard that, since we were talking to everybody right now, because it's important that people understand that there are other things other than pharmaceuticals out there for self-care. And I think we have to be... we have to really take our wellness and our healing into our own hands. Now, beforehand, yes, and, absolutely. Go ahead.
And HelloMD recently did a research or a report with Brightfield, and I believe it was, and they found that nearly half of the people, their main target audience for this survey was people on their website, and so that was the California audience, but nearly half of the people have switched from pharmaceuticals to taking CBD or other cannabis products.
That's amazing to know.
Definitely, and, you know, so more people are starting to be aware of it, and so, you know, the message is getting across. Most definitely.
I love it. Well, I want to go back to John. John, you give us such a technical feeling about this whole thing. And I know it's important to know about this volatile licensing. Now, on our break, we were talking just a little bit about how it is that some of Denver's laws are being mirrored in California. And just last week, they came out with some of the finalizations of California state law. And of course, you know, we're in LA and there are 88 cities here. And each city, believe it or not, has its own bylaws. So you have a city that has laws, you have a county that has bylaws, then you have the state that has laws, and then of course you have the federal government who kind of mandates the states but really allows them to do their own thing until it comes to this kind of Schedule I drug we're talking about here, which is cannabis. And I want to know from you, when I look at this and I think about volatile usage, and I look at this paper here, it says, if I'm in the medicinal market, I get an M license. I can have a type 7 volatile solvent extraction. I can use that for infusing and packaging or labeling. So that's kind of what you do, right? That you, because you make this solvent and then I can buy it and then I can use it personally. Or do you have another place on your in your company that sells it wholesale to somebody who's making cookies or cakes or pies or edibles?
Yeah, actually we do. We take our product, we sell our CBD raw by itself to tons of people who make their own products with it. Those people do not have to have those licenses to have those solvents on, you know, on their property. To give you an idea, we don't have any of the Section 7 solvents that you're talking about, or Class 7. Those are things like hexane and heptane and acetone. And that should kind of open your mind up a little bit. Acetone is one of those things, the same stuff that you put on your fingernails.
Oh, yes.
To take your fingernail polish off.
And it takes out your color, and it will ruin your leather and your seats and your Mercedes. It will do a few things bad, right?
Yeah.
So how does that work with healing product?
See, those things are used as solvents. That's what I would like people to know. You know, even things like ethanol, which is literally Everclear, those are solvents. You know, you could take, you could buy an ounce of cannabis, right? 1 ounce of cannabis. You can wash that 1 ounce. You can take that 1 ounce, you can put it in the bottom of a bowl. You can take ethanol, Everclear, pour it in that bowl until it covers up all that cannabis, and you can work that cannabis around in that bowl, filter that through a cheesecloth, and throw away the plant material, and now what you have is an extract. Literally that simple. Then, you know, we have machines that pull the alcohol out of that and leave you with literally just the extract. That is what's happening in a lot of labs. For CBD, that's how it's happening. CBD is not being extracted with things like butane, which are the fear. That's the big chemical people are really afraid of, pentanes and propane. You know, those are two of the best solvents to pull off all the flavor and all of the medicine from the plant. And those are the ones that people want to use the most of for the THC side of things. But for the CBD side of things, we mainly use ethanol.
I see.
A little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So now let's just say, now we have really gotten a wealth of information from you. So now let's talk a little bit about this. Okay, so I have lower back pain and people are talking about I should have surgery. So if I got a CBD product and let's say topically rubbed it into my back and then maybe took a few doses orally, would that alleviate the pain, or would that start a healing process, or does that trick my brain into thinking that the pain is healed? Tell us a little bit about how does pain relief come from CBD?
It's actually Dr. Ethan Russo has a theory of the cannabinoid deficiency. And essentially he said, you know, all these other systems, when there's something going wrong with you, that's you're deficient in something. And so he found off of his research and theorized that the cannabinoid deficiency is you experience pain when you shouldn't, when you're deficient in cannabinoids. So essentially in the pain, you are replacing, you're giving your body the cannabinoids that your body needs. It's telling you it in some sort of way.
Wow, that's very interesting. because we know that, at least my parents used to tell me this always, that there's always something on the earth to heal what's wrong with you. Never turn to pharmaceuticals, because there is something to heal you right here. So I'm looking at this page, and John, I want you to talk to me about this because I'm an avid juicer. Everybody knows I juice. So can you juice hemp? Is that possible?
Yeah. Juicing hemp is great. Juicing fan leaves is great. And that's a product that a lot of people just get thrown away. But yeah, juicing cannabis in general, the chlorophyll is good for you. The free radicals in there, the omegas that are in there, there's a lot of great beneficial properties in juicing cannabis as a whole. Juicing cannabis, by the way, with THC in it, it's not going to get you high unless you were to heat it up. Because see, when cannabis itself is grown, right?
Yes.
All of these things are acids. It's THC acid, CBD acid, CBG acid. They're all acids. Mm-hmm. None of those can be like effective in the human body until they're heated and decarboxylated. So they have a carbon molecule on them that stops them from being absorbed into our system. And until they're heated, that won't get you high or take effect. So that being said, you know, we have this ability to consume through juice anything, cannabis with THC in it or CBD, all of them are going to have very good benefits for you.
Well, I got a question then. So tell me, what are your top products?
Definitely. Well, I think that it all just depends on like what kind of market is looking at it. So going back to kind of a delivery system, it kind of depends on the delivery system. Those cannabis users in that cannabis market is probably going to be more focused on those smokable products, whereas people who are kind of using it more, who are new or have never smoked before, are probably using alternative products like a topical or the gummy or the capsule or something like that.
Wow. So you have a website, and on your website, people could go and play around. Why don't you tell us about your website and how does that work? Can we get more information about CBD? Can we order? I mean, of course, people in Indiana have to get as some kind of P.O. box, maybe in a sister state, to, you know, be able to heal themselves there. But tell us a little bit about your website. Can we call and get someone to talk to us, like, let's say, a personal shopper to help us figure all this out?
Definitely. I think that is one of the main things that a lot of people like about us, is that we are a company that you can call. So we'll get a lot of calls that they'll be like, you know, I like that it's not an automated system or things like that. Like, I can actually talk to you guys. And it just makes them feel a little bit more comfortable, because there are some negative conversations about buying CBD online and all of that kind of stuff. So we are able to provide that customer service for them, to make them feel comfortable. Our website is also very, you know, educated-based, knowledge-based. It has a lot of research and info on it. So our articles are a really good place to find new information. And then we also have like a stories tab that features some customers' stories about how they use CBD, what conditions they use it for, what dose they use, and things like that, to kind of give customers who are looking to use CBD an idea of what other people are doing.
What do you think about, now this is off topic totally, but everybody knows that I'm in the fashion industry. So I'd like to know, what do you guys do with those spare stems and stuff? Are you guys making clothing as well? What's happening? Are you consuming every bit of the plant? Or is there a future for hemp fashion?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up too. From the plants that are grown on the farms we work with, they take the, you know, the standard material that we make CBD from, and then we're left with some of the stalks and stems. From those stalks and stems, the skin of those stalks and stems is actually turned into things like clothes and fashion. The inside, or the biomass, is made into things like protein, like hemp-based proteins and fertilizers.
Wow, that's exciting. So we've got to get our chic together so we can support CBD even in our fashion wear. Is that correct? Well,
that's exactly right.
I tell you, I just had a great time speaking with the both of you and talking to you a little bit more and getting some insight into the world of CBD. And I just wanted to end this with asking you a couple of questions about the person that they say is the father of this is Rick Simpson. And I was just wondering, could you tell us a little bit about what you know about him and what sacrifice did he have to go through in order to bring CBD awareness to the United States?
You know, I think that Rick had a lot to do with a lot. You know, if it wasn't for Rick Simpson and, you know, his oils and doing what he's been doing forever, there wouldn't be people who had been benefited by far with their cancer therapies because of not just CBD, but THC, just cannabinoids in general. Rick Simpson actually has like a nice, and you could read it, an actual plan. Like, hey, if you've got cancer, this is how much oil you have to take, and this is how much time you have to take it in. And when he did that, he was scrutinized heavily, not only by people in the cannabis industry, but he was also scrutinized heavily by the government, who doesn't like any competition, and pharmaceutical companies, who, oddly enough, are very strongly related to government. They also don't like competition. So, you know, a lot of the debunking that happens to people like Rick Simpson, I think, come directly from, you know, the pharmaceutical areas. But outside of that, you know, he's been persecuted. He's had law enforcement. He's had raids. And he did that all before it was cool. He did that all before it was something that was, you know, socially acceptable. And so my hat's off to Rick Simpson for, you know, basically burning the path for the rest of us. He's the true pioneer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you for saying that. But you know what? Right now, you're the pioneer. And we just want to thank you for making time to be on LA Miracle Cure. Give us your website and a contact phone number for people who are interested in having questions and maybe an opportunity to purchase CBD.
You can visit our website at www.infinitecbd.com, and you can order all products and things like that from there, learn education, and then you can reach us also at 303-562-1645.
All right. And before we go, John, I'd like to just hear, so what do you think the three best practices that you have put into your company are when you're dealing with CBD? Just give us three best practices. We'd appreciate it.
Three best practices when dealing with CBD?
Yes.
You know, first and foremost, you just want to make sure your source is reputable. You want to make sure they've got good test reports. You know that the medicine is real, no pesticides, and they actually care. You know, that'd probably be one of the things that I think a lot of CBD companies do. I'm not taking that away from them, but it's definitely one of the things that I think our company does a lot of is we care. We spend a lot of time talking to people to help them through this process of trying this new alternative medicine. And that's another thing. You definitely want to work with somebody who's willing to educate you and willing to spend the time and take the time to do what you need. And then the third thing to look for when working with CBD companies, you definitely want to work with CBD companies that are named Infinite CBD. That would be the third thing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, you know what? Again, I thank you for making time for us today. I thank you, Allie Monk, director of, public relations for Infinite CBD. We thank you so much for your input and your knowledge. And we also want to thank you, John Ramsey, for what you've given us, the insight and your story, because we know that the story is everything. And understanding a little bit more from someone who is in the business and taking care of his customers and working toward having pain-free participants that are purchasing CBD, I think that's a fabulous thing to have found yourself in. And I wish you the best. Yes. And I wish the best for your company. Everybody.
Likewise.
You have been listening to LA Miracle Cure. And I am your host, Barbara. And we are on America Out Loud.